Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You guys must be getting sick of me here. Fourth consecutive day of, or night, morning, whatever this is, of Gilroy here and talking to you guys late night. As always, the number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. We'll get back to the more traditional style of late night tonight. And by the way, you know, screw you, Kirk Minahan. I'm listening to him this morning, and he said some nice complimentary things about me, and I appreciate that. But then he hears me say something, I forget what it was, and he says, you know, I hate the fake radio voice. He can't really talk like that. And props to Alex Reamer, who said, no, Gilroy's got, you know, a nice baritone voice in his regular conversational tone. Kirk has never had a conversation with me outside of the studio or outside of him yelling at me at 8 a.m. And every single time we've had a conversation, it's either been in the studio when I'm in there, you know, for the first or second time, knowing I've only got a segment or two to impress the Almighty King. So I might be a little bit nervous, you know, and that's human nature. He makes people nervous. He's got that presence about him. And he has got no idea what my normal voice is. Kirk, anytime you want to hang out, I would invite you to drink with me, have a couple of beers, but I understand that that's not your thing. That's fine. Have a cup of coffee. Whatever you want to do, we can have a conversation. You can get to know my normal voice, and then you can judge it. But until then, screw you. Keep your opinion to yourself. I had to get that off my chest. I'm exhausted. So I am much more willing to get things like that off my chest. I'll take you guys up until 2 o'clock in the morning. We are going to get into Celtic Summer League no matter what Kirk Minahan says. Celtic Summer League action is, it's been fun this year. But what's awesome about the Summer League, besides the action on the floor, and the action on the floor is interesting. It's fun if you're a basketball junkie like I am. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love basketball. It's mainstream. It's on ESPN. It's on ESPN2. It's on Comcast Sportsnet, now NBC Sports Boston. So people must be watching, okay? I'm not the only one. I'm not going to be made to feel like a freak because I enjoy the game of basketball. All that being said, what makes it even more interesting is the fact that, yes, the Celtics do send a huge contingent of their media is out there, and many of the big free agents that are still remaining are out there watching their teams, watching the games. It's a social gathering, not to mention some of the best players in the league are out in Las Vegas right now working with their trainers. All of these videos are on YouTube. An awesome video today. If you are a Celtics junkie, head out to YouTube. I will tweet out the link. Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Semi Ojeleye, Marcus Fultz. I mean, you've got guys out there, Markel Fultz, guys out there that are putting their time in from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. with their trainers, and now everybody's taking video of it. And there's a great video of a one-on-one matchup between Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum. And at one point, Joel Embiid hits a follow-away three over Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum looks at him and he says, yeah, 4-1. 4-1, meaning the Celtics beat them in the playoffs 4-1. Shut the hell up, Joel Embiid. And I don't care if that matchup takes place in June, July, August, or in April, May, or June. It doesn't make a difference whether it's the NBA playoffs or whether it's the middle of the summer. As a basketball fan, as a Celtics fan, knowing that those two guys very well may be the best two players on their teams as conference rivals for the next decade, that's compelling to me. Whether it's compelling to Kirk or not is totally irrelevant. Yeah, it just is what it is. You know, for me, I enjoy watching something like that. I enjoy watching the centerpiece of these two teams, the centerpieces of these two teams, the guys that are going to lead the way in the Eastern Conference for the next decade, decade plus, work out against each other, compete against each other, put the time in the offseason against each other. It's interesting, it's compelling, and it tells you something about how these guys are wired. It tells you something about how these guys get after it in the offseason, much more so than the way they used to do it in years past, in seasons past, in decades past. And we've talked so much about this, how the NBA has done a better job than just about every other professional sports organization out there, being it's a year-round sport, and it really is. The reason why these videos are out there on YouTube, and they're not taken by some dude's iPhone, all right? These things are professionally shot, professionally done. The reason why is because people like me watch them. They get hundreds of thousands and millions of views because, like it or not, the NBA has a growing global audience, and summer basketball is compelling. Summer basketball is fun to watch. What makes it ultra compelling, though, are the little idiosyncrasies that take place behind the scenes. So you've got the action on the court. You've got the all-star players on the court doing their summer workouts at the same time, taking place simultaneously in Las Vegas at the Summer League. But then you've got all of the free agents. You've got the free agency piece taking place many times during the Summer League games in the same arena. So these free agents, these restricted free agents, for the Celtics, it's Marcus Smart. They're sitting in an arena watching the Celtics Summer League team play. And on the other side of the arena is his agent, is Danny Ainge, is Brad Stevens, and they're all under one roof. It makes it a lot of fun. You know, you sit there, you think about how compelling that is. They're all there under one roof. Meanwhile, every time you hear a trending here, we're looking for the latest on Marcus Smart. We're looking for the latest on what's happening with the Celtics in free agency. And meanwhile, these guys are right there under one roof. They know what's going on. We don't yet, but they do. So we're going to get into that tonight. NBA free agency, your Boston Celtics, where things stand right now, because I feel like Danny Ainge is going to have some decisions to make coming up here in the next 3 to 5 days. This whole thing with Marcus Smart is going to come to a head. The Celtics' Danny Ainge coming out today saying that Marcus Smart is the Celtics' priority in free agency. He is. I get that. But if you're a Celtics fan, you couldn't help but have a smile brought to your face last night when everything went down with Isaiah Thomas. And I do want to get into IT, the King of the Fourth, and what his potential role could be here with the Boston Celtics. Because Isaiah Thomas did something that is a cardinal sin if you are a NBA free agent looking to have leverage over other teams. If you're an NBA free agent that was, 13, 14 months ago, asking for the Brinks truck to be backed up to you, and now you're on a social media post with A. Sherrod flipping Blakely out of everybody, it's out there. It's not like he is. A. Sherrod's great. He's an awesome guy, but we're not talking about Stephen A. Smith here. We're not talking about Colin Cowherd. You know, if it was Stephen A. or Colin Cowherd or one of these guys taking a picture with IT, and IT giving a quick little quote blurb underneath the picture on a social media post saying, yeah, I'll go back to Boston 1 year. That's one thing. But when it's A. Sherrod Blakely, we only know him within a 200-mile radius of Boston. Like, he is not an international basketball figure. When you tune into a basketball game somewhere out in the Midwest, they don't say NBA insider A. Sherrod Blakely says. Like, that's not who he is. Meanwhile, A. Sherrod, friendly with Isaiah Thomas, takes a picture with IT. IT then quotes underneath him and writes in and says, look, tell Boston I'd love to come back in 1 year only. And he didn't come out today and deny that. He didn't come out today and say, yeah, I was just being friendly, just being fun. There has been a compelling conversation today about Isaiah Thomas potentially returning to the Celtics. And the fanboy in me says, bring it on. The fanboy in me says, yes, IT, he averaged 30 points a night here with the Celtics. If you can get 70% of that guy back to come off the bench and be the Isaiah Thomas that he was when the Celtics acquired him. Remember what he was when he was with the Sacramento Kings. Remember what IT was when he was with the Phoenix Suns. He was not the 30-point-a-night guy. He was an 18- to 20-point-a-night guy, instant offense, electric instant offense off the bench. A game-changing, dynamic, offensive superstar off the bench. Microwave offense. The definition of Eddie Johnson. That's what he was. And that's what this Celtics team could need. And when you look at what has taken place in the last week to 10 days in NBA free agency, and you look at, say, the Golden State Warriors adding a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, giving them another all-star presence, and you think about the Celtics and how they could potentially answer that move. We spent so much time last week talking about the Celtics. How can they answer that move? You've got the predominant favorite in the Western Conference adding yet another legit all-star player. Is there something, a counter move that Danny Ainge can make here in the Eastern Conference to keep up with what the Golden State Warriors were doing?
Little guy.
And I never thought ever, well, Isaiah Thomas could come here and help the Celtics team, because I never thought Isaiah Thomas would want to come back here. even at, you know, if the Celtics could get him at his, at their cost, I never thought IT would want to come back here and entertain a low ball offer to play with the Celtics for 1 year. But IT is not a stupid guy. And in a couple of years that he was here with the Celtics, I think we all learned that about Isaiah Thomas. He's not a dumb man. Let's be honest about the National Basketball Association. While everybody in the NBA is clearly the best of the best of the best at putting the ball in the basket, I'm talking about the best players in the world, not all of them are the most intelligent people on the planet outside of the game of basketball. Okay? They're just not. They have spent their whole life doing one thing. And it's always refreshing when you have a conversation with somebody that can hold said conversation, and it can be an intellectual conversation where you feel like somebody's on the same level. And Isaiah Thomas was always that guy. He doesn't fake it till he makes it like Kyrie Irving does when it comes to the way that he speaks to the media, the way that he talks one-on-one with somebody. You know, Kyrie Irving always tries way too hard to be the most intelligent guy in the room. And it gets annoying sometimes, right? He always tries to use big words in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they don't make sense. But that's who he is, that's who he's always been, and he's never going to change. So when you speak with a guy like IT, like we did so many times in the locker room over the last few years, you know, he'll tell you how he feels, and he'll use the right words at the right time in the right place, and he's not afraid to use some emotion in the way that he speaks. And I think that Celtics fans found that very refreshing, and that's why Celtics fans, rather than get annoyed, pissed off, and angry when he would say, back up the Brinks truck, he had a way of delivering that message where it came off as so pure and so emotional that Celtics fans weren't angry about it. You know, if it were anybody else, if Marcus Smart right now were saying, back up the Brinks truck, Danny Ainge, people would hate him for that. Even if a guy like one of their max players, like Kyrie Irving, were out there publicly saying in regards to his contract, look, Danny Ainge is going to have to open up the vault for me. I'm a max guy. I think that would turn people off.
Experiment in game 63.
Just because of the way that he speaks, because of the way that he delivers his message to the media. But Isaiah Thomas did it in such a friendly, happy-go-lucky type of way that nobody really got angry at him for it. So Isaiah Thomas now in a situation where, let's face it, how the mighty have fallen. He has gone from fifth in the MVP vote, somebody who was lining himself up for at least a $100 million deal, to the Celtics shipping him off to the Cleveland Cavaliers in that ill-fated deal where the Celtics did acquire themselves an MVP-caliber player with his own set of question marks, and it didn't work out for IT. He never quite got healthy. He only played 15 games with the Cavaliers. He gets shipped off to the Lakers. Clearly not a fit there with LA. LA has no intention of bringing Isaiah Thomas back. They've got Lonzo Ball. Now they've got Rajon Rondo. Their backcourt is full. And the big dollars have been spent for the most part in free agency. And when you look at the potential free agents that are left, there aren't many guys that are left that are legit all-star players. And I'm not sure if Isaiah Thomas could ever return to being all-star Isaiah Thomas. But I am confident that he can return to instant offense, microwave offense, a punch off the bench, can play 25, 30 minutes a night and give you 18 points a night. And for 1 year, if the Celtics really and truly are going in, all in next year to try and win a championship like we've heard so much about, why not bring Isaiah Thomas back? Here's the danger. You're going to have to give him, let's say, the mid-level. Okay, so let's say the deal for IT is somewhere between $6 and $8 million, depending on whether the Celtics pay the tax or not next year, which will be dependent on how they fill out their final spot in their roster and what other tweaks they make to their current contractual situations, i.e. a Marcus Smart. Does he take the $6.8 million qualifying offer, or are the Celtics extending themselves 3, 4, 5 years at $14 million a year? They're very close to that tax line, so if they are a tax-paying team, they're going to pay IT $5.8 million. If they are a non-tax-paying team, they're going to pay IT somewhere around $8 million. So you got to pay him somewhere between $5.8 and $8 million, depending on what you do with the rest of your roster. What if you could have Isaiah Thomas, but it meant that you were out of the running for Marcus Smart? And these two guys could not be any more different. So you have one guy that can't score at all in Marcus Smart. Any bit of offense that he gives you is considered a bonus. Any offense that Marcus Smart gives you is an extra, right? But he does all the little things. He's in every winning play, every sort of major game-changing, compelling play that takes place on the floor, especially in crunch time, Marcus Smart finds himself in the middle of. He can be the smallest guy on the floor, but he'll get the most critical rebound and putback. We all know what he did against the Rockets and James Harden in the closing moments of the game against the Rockets at the Garden, I don't know, 6 months ago, when he forced two offensive fouls against Harden, giving the Celtics two more possessions, ultimately helping them win that game in a complete surprising fashion. All right, that's what he does. And I've said it for months, and I'll continue to say it. If you are a team that is on the precipice of winning a championship, you need a guy like Marcus Smart on your team. But if you have to choose between Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas, and ultimately Danny Ainge has to say, okay, I'm going to give my money this year to IT, who can come in here and solve the offensive woes that this team may have coming off the bench, can be a legit 18 to 20 point a night guy. Give IT an opportunity, by the way, to rehab his image, show the NBA that he's healthy. The Celtics get him on the cheap because of that. But he's got to choose between IT and Marcus Smart. Which guy helps the Celtics get closer to banner 18?
Marcus Smart can shoot from the outside.
That's the question I have for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Also reports tonight the Celtics are in on Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver, 38-year-old target of the Celtics, coming off a pretty decent season with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Looks like he's being shopped out there. Cleveland has zero intention of keeping their these veteran players that are making decent money, and the Celtics are rumored to be in the mix for a guy like Kyle Korver. I love that move. Depending on what they've got to give up, you know the Cavs are going to want draft picks. They're going to want young players. They're going to want that sort of compensation. They don't have any interest in taking back a contract, taking back a player that can help them right now. But a Kyle Korver, again, when you're rounding out a roster and looking at players that could potentially help you win a championship this year, Kyle Korver, in this day and age, with the NBA as three-point-centric as it is, you could have one of the most devastating three-point shooters in the last decade on your team, and it's not going to cost you a whole hell of a lot for assets. I love the fact that the Celtics are in on that. So you've got a choice here. You can go all in on the defensive side of the ball and overextend yourself for Marcus Smart, or you could potentially say to hell with defense. It's an offensive game. It's a three-point shooter's game, and IT is available, and he can come on the cheap. He's advocated now for coming back to Boston. He said, tell Danny Ainge, tell the Celtics, I miss it there. I would like to come back on a one-year deal. You can make that happen, and you could potentially trade for a Kyle Korver. Would you rather have, if you were the Celtics, what gets you closer to banner 18? Trading for a Korver, signing an Isaiah Thomas to a team-friendly one-year deal, or extending Marcus Smart for the next 3 to 4 years at, say, $10 to $14 million a year? We'll talk about that in the first hour tonight here on Sports Radio. WEI, the number to reach me here is 617-779-7937. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to reach me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Getting back to what we do best here. And, you know, we can talk about the Kirk and Callahan show. We can talk about President Trump. We can talk about all that. I don't care. We can do that. But I choose not to. And it's not because I don't have the balls to do so. It's because it's not compelling to me. The stuff that they talk about on KNC, that's them, right? That's what they want to do. They find it compelling. It works for them. But I'm a firm believer in what we do here at night works. Arcan started this thing a couple years back, doing the late night shift till 2 in the morning. I feel like his formula worked for him. It worked for the station. That's why the station has kept the shift going. And ultimately, we are the shift that has the rare opportunity, the unique opportunity, to provide you instant reaction to what's taken place that night. And if there's anything that I failed to say to Kirk when I talked to them a couple of mornings ago, it was that's the predominant difference. That's the primary difference between what they do and what I do.
Right.
It's two completely different shows because we are providing an instant reaction here, be it to the Red Sox, be it to a Celtics playoff game, be it to whatever has taken place throughout the day. And when I do a show like this, I do enjoy, you know, hitting Twitter, hitting social media, and seeing the way that things have played out over the course of the day. You know, like Chris Curtis said better than anybody else 5-6 years ago when he was Drunk Curtis. What did he say? He said he gets the opportunity to set the tone for the city of Boston, set the dialogue for the city of Boston. That's what that morning show does. Kyle, you should have played that drop right there.
Right, setting the dialogue for the city of Boston, right, that's sort of why I do it.
That's Drunk Curtis at his best, but he nailed it right there. That's what that show does. They can set the dialogue in the morning.
I can set the dialogue for the city.
It's not what we do here. We react to that day's dialogue. It's a completely different program, a completely different format. And, you know, if a major news event takes place, like the 2016 election, where it was such a surprise to have a Donald Trump win, of course, I'm going to talk about that. Like an event like a 9/11, I'm going to talk about that. But for the most part here, I want to talk about the Celtics in free agency, the Celtics Summer League, your red-hot Red Sox, what the Patriots are going to do in 2 weeks when training camp opens, and if this is the potential end of an awesome two-decade dynasty, there's plenty of compelling stories there.
So I'm the best at what I do when I'm on my when I'm on my game.
Was he on his game back then? That is the question. Yeah, I've known Curtis through three different stints, put it that way. So there was Curtis that I knew back 10, 11, 12 years ago, who was the producer of the Celtic Pride radio program on 890 ESPN Radio, home of Mike Felger in the afternoons. I mean, that was we were very proud of that station, that program, and everything that we did there, even though that Kyle, your hair dryer pumped out more power than that ESPN station did. It didn't make a difference. It was an ESPN-branded station in Boston where a bunch of radio wannabes, and we got to have business cards with ESPN on it. It was a big deal. And Chris Curtis was an awesome producer. All right? So I knew him then. He was young, he was hungry, and he was thin. And then I stayed in touch with him over the years. I knew that he had got married and put on weight, but we all did that. I had no idea that he had an alcohol problem. Now I know him again, where he's a little bit older and rail thin again. But he's always been one of the most dedicated radio people I've ever known. And that's rare to come from a millennial. He's a millennial. He's a little bit older for a millennial, but he's a millennial.
I think this leads credence.
That comes from money. And to have somebody with his sort of work ethic, it's awesome. The best thing that that morning show has ever done is keep Chris Curtis happy, get him back. He is a major asset to that show and to this station.
He doesn't fake it. He gets I think that what most people wouldn't understand is
that guy. He's a huge asset.
But I came in into the second life of Chris Curtis. I started interning for Curtis and September of 2016, so this was the new phase of Curtis.
That, we all go through a sort of a changing in our early 30s. Like, when you hit 30, 31, 32, you're married, your own mortality becomes very real. Like, you have this revelation as a person. And Chris clearly had his moment, and, you know, that moment can be more dramatic for some than others. He had his moment, and good for him. But that show has been at its best since Curtis came back, and I give them a lot of credit for what they do. And I hate the fact that I get painted as a guy that doesn't enjoy that show or is critiquing what they do in the morning. I love what they do in the morning here.
Good morning.
But it is still Sports Radio WEI, and every other program on this station talks sports, and I will continue to do that, but I'm not going to ignore the major stories of the day. And for me, one of the major stories of the last 24 hours is this potential return of Isaiah Thomas. People like to forget how impactful he was here. People forget the impact that he had both on and off the floor. And the fact that the Celtics are one of the most coveted free agent destinations right now can date back to the Celtics acquiring Isaiah Thomas.
And he is having a season that is comparable to Larry Bird at his best.
Everything that he's done. Now, comparing him to Larry Bird at his best, that's a bit of a stretch. I don't think I would even go there, and I am the biggest green teamer going. But all that being said, it's compelling to me to think about an Isaiah Thomas, even at a 75% or 80% of, you know, his max of what he was. If he wants to come back to Boston on a short one-year deal, a prove-it-to-me deal to showcase his talents again, it will be the smartest thing for the Celtics, and I think it will be the smartest thing for him. Because if Brad Stevens has proven one thing in his tenure here in Boston, is that he knows how to get the best out of these guys, and especially get the best out of guards. When you look at the guards that Brad Stevens has had and what he has done for those guards, he gave Evan Turner the ability to go out there and earn $75 million because he put him in a position to succeed. The year prior, Evan Turner was essentially out of the NBA, coming off a failed stint with the Pacers. All right, you've got a huge list of guys that he is. Jordan Crawford is a guy that had no business being in the NBA, yet for a two-month stretch, he's putting up 20 points a night under Brad Stevens. You know, Brad Stevens knows how to get these guys, these offensive-minded guards, the ability to score the basketball. And I think IT might be seriously looking at the Celtics because he knows that Brad Stevens is going to put him in an opportunity, put him in a position to score the basketball at an elite level once again, where he can build up his value. And I think the days of him being a max contract guy are certainly over, but he certainly could put himself in a position to be worth more than a one-year, $6 million deal. And he's going to have to play the long game here. Nobody has really come a knocking for his services at the cost in which he thought that he was worth. So now he's finding himself in this unique situation where, yeah, he's going to tell the Celtics, hey, if you guys need a score, I'm your guy. I'll sign a one-year deal, team-friendly deal, short money, but I need to go to a place where I can reestablish my value, where I can reestablish myself, so then I can go out there and I can earn one more large contract. The question is, as Celtics fans, you guys are the same ones that called me here last year. And we had this debate here last year, and it was Michael Hawley on this station last year that said that Isaiah Thomas was a better basketball player than Kyrie Irving. Kyle? You'll have that one in a minute. But, you know, Hawley said it here. He said that Isaiah Thomas was a better basketball player than Kyrie Irving. Now, nobody bought it. I didn't believe it. Nobody here worth their salt basketball-wise really knew that, really understood that, really believed that. However, that's how good IT was for a two-year stretch here in Boston.
Would you trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving?
I would not, no. No.
Because, you know, you look at that, and Isaiah Thomas at the time was a top five MVP caliber player. He averaged more points than Kyrie Irving. He was a more electric offensive scorer than Kyrie Irving, and he single-handedly put the Celtics back on the map. Now you've got an opportunity a year later to get him on the cheap, but if you're a Celtics fan, the question really becomes, if you have to choose between where your money goes next year, if you've got to choose between your defensive-minded, defense-first, does all the little things, winner of a player in Marcus Smart, or you can bring in an electric offensive player to come off the bench and give this team a jolt, and maybe a large enough jolt to be able to offensively keep up with the Golden State Warriors in Isaiah Thomas. Is that worth sacrificing a Marcus Smart for? That's what we're talking about tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in North Providence. Matt, you're first up here on WEEI.
Hey, Pat. I called up originally. I wanted to talk about the Red Sox. I mean, I've been listening all day.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been like trying to give their takes on why people are losing interest in baseball.
Matt, it's late night, man. It's all yours. My show is your show.
All right. Well, I think I have a theory. It's just, you know, I realize I don't know any players in the MLB. I don't know who's good. I don't know who's good on, like, the Red Sox play the Rangers tonight. I couldn't tell you one player on that team.
NFL,
I know, like, every good player on every team. I know probably every quarterback, you know, like wide receivers, every player in the NBA that's good. I know what team they play for, what position.
Baseball does a terrible job marketing its players. They're the worst when it comes to marketing their players, and they shouldn't be. You know, you look at the two sports in the NFL and the NHL. Those historically were the hardest to market their players because you can't see their face, and that was always such a big part of it because of the helmets that they wear. But I feel like the NFL has come so far, and it doesn't make a difference. You know who the elite NFL players are. It doesn't make a difference if they play for your home team or not. We all know who the top, say, 15 NFL players are. You're absolutely right about Major League Baseball. They do a terrible job marketing their players. Outside of this market, I think there's maybe three or four guys that we might be able to recognize if they walk down the street. Yeah, that's about it. Like a Mike Trout. I would recognize players from the previous generation. So like if a Mike Piazza or a Randy Johnson walked down the street, I would recognize them in a heartbeat. And Alex Rodriguez in a heartbeat. But I'm more likely to recognize guys that haven't played in 10, 15 years than I am to recognize guys that are playing right now.
That's what I was going to say, too. It's like I feel like once, like David Ortiz, A-Rod, Jeter, they're all done. So it's like I don't even know who these new guys are. I you know?
We're not emotionally invested into baseball the way we used to be, Matt. And it's a great point, and it's one that I haven't heard on the station today, so I appreciate the phone call. You know, baseball is it's another knock on the sport. It's another knock on their commissioner. It's another knock on their inability to sort of change with the times. And they've done a terrible job in the last 5 or 10 years marketing this current group of stars. You've got some local sponsorships, local ads with your stars here. Mookie Betts, I think, is a recognizable guy here. J.D. Martinez is getting there, but he's still a relatively new face here. We all know who, I think if David Price walked into a restaurant, would recognize him for all the wrong reasons. We'd know who Chris Sale is. But you're right, a team like the Rangers, their best player or two walks into a Boston bar tonight. Maybe Lou Maloney knows who they are. Maybe. But my producer here, Kyle, doesn't know who they are. I don't recognize who they are. None of us are going to recognize them because they do a terrible job marketing their stars. It's nothing compared to what baseball used to do. And I feel like baseball needs to get back to, I've heard Rich Keefe say this, and I totally agree with him. I don't care that these guys were juicing in the late 90s. I don't care. If they choose to make a decision that is going to better the game of baseball, further entertain me, and cut their lives short, but put more money in their pockets, then God bless them for it. That's a decision that they're making. Baseball had this mini renaissance period between like 97 and 2003 when people are jacking 60, 70 home runs. And you have the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire thing in the 99 All-Star game at Fenway Park that I was lucky enough to be on the field for, reporting for Kiss 108 Boston, ironically of all places. You know, that was, I think, the pinnacle of all of that. You've got, on one hand, Pedro Martinez going out there throwing smoke. On the other hand, you've got the Mark McGwire show was absolutely incredible with him hitting bomb after bomb after bomb over the monster. You don't have figures like that in baseball right now.
Figure it out, idiots.
You don't have a McGwire, a Sosa, a Barry Bonds. They don't exist. So for as great as J.D. Martinez is, for as great as Giancarlo Stanton has been, you don't have guys that baseball is doing a good job of building its brand around and marketing its game around. Baseball needs to modernize itself in that regard and take a page out of the NBA and make their guys seem more approachable, make their guys seem more recognizable, so then you're emotionally invested into the product. That's what baseball hasn't done well at all. People are not emotionally invested into the game of baseball the way they are into the NFL, the way they are into the NBA, and especially, in my opinion, the NHL. There is not a more passionate group of fans than NHL fans. It's a smaller group, but they are a passionate group. Baseball fans don't exactly exude passion to me. They exude this sort of stability. You know, they're going to always stick with their game, but they're not a passionate bunch. They don't seem like the type that's going to go to jail like a Dave Portnoy did for Tom Brady. Yeah, but that's what the NFL does. That's the emotion that it evokes. You don't get that from Major League Baseball. It is Sports Radio. WEEI, it is Late Night. I am Patrick Gilroy. I want to continue this conversation around Isaiah Thomas, continue this conversation around the Boston Celtics. I was the guy that took your angry phone calls a year ago, and it was split down the middle. So let's not pretend to rewrite history here. All right, I was here on the day the Celtics traded Isaiah Thomas away. I took your reaction that night. Doing late night here. And it was split right down the middle. There were people very, very, very excited that the Celtics brought in a legitimate star in Kyrie Irving. But there were more people, I think, emotionally upset that the Celtics kind of stuck it in the back, so to speak, of Isaiah Thomas after everything IT did for the Celtics, playing through his sister's death, playing through literally like breaking his jaw, losing teeth in the playoffs, everything that he went through, playing through that hip injury, everything that he gave up for the Celtics, the way that he performed here for a couple of years. Nobody ever thought, because of the emotion involved in the divorce between IT and the Celtics, nobody really allowed themselves to think of the possibility that Isaiah Thomas could potentially find himself back here in Boston. But because of circumstances well beyond what anybody could have expected involving IT's health and the up and down season that he's had, now there's an opportunity here for the Celtics to potentially right a wrong and bring Isaiah back, give him the opportunity to regain his health, regain his worth, regain his value, and then allow IT the opportunity to hit free agency next year and get himself a big contract. And in the meantime, give the Celtics another reliable electric scorer off the bench and a little bit of Kyrie Irving insurance in case he doesn't come back at 100%. So it is Sports Radio. WEI, what do you guys think? Do you want IT back on the Celtics? And would you like him back here if it costs the Celtics the ability, costs the Celtics their ability to extend Marcus Smart? What do you guys think? It's 617-779-7937.
Thomas gets a step on Wall. Morris there to greet him. Thomas with the flip. Isaiah Thomas, 46 points. And they keep feeding him. Isaiah Thomas to the hole. Isaiah Thomas is a machine. Thomas crosses. Foul called! And one!
I am such a tool, but my hair is standing up in my arms right now from listening to those highlights. Like, you forget the emotional response that the city of Boston had to Isaiah Thomas. And it's easy to forget when your team goes out the following year and doesn't miss him at all. Your team goes out the next year after replacing 11 players on a team that went to the conference finals, which is unheard of in the NBA, and including their leading scorer. Their two-time All-Star leads them to back-to-back All-Star games, leads them to the conference finals, and you dismiss him out of the city. You upgrade the position with Kyrie Irving. I'm not even suggesting that IT is on the same planet, the same level as a basketball player as Kyrie Irving. But for the two-year stretch that he was here, two-and-a-half-year stretch that he was here with the Celtics, he was the best bargain in all of basketball. And for my money, he's somebody that I'm going to remember for the next 30 to 50 years as somebody that provided me with 2.5 awesome years of Celtic basketball memories. And that might be where he belongs. That might be where we keep him. In our minds and in our hearts, somebody that gave us a nice two and a half year stretch, but it's a reach to want to bring him back here. I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking you guys at 617-779-7937, because this position that the Celtics find themselves in, with IT publicly advocating for his return trip here to Boston, knowing it's going to come on the cheap, knowing that he's going to have to sort of go back to Danny Ainge with his tail between his legs and say, you know, I'll take the mid-level exception after demanding the Brinks truck, is a hard look for these NBA guys. It's one thing for him to go take a short money one-year deal with, say, the Orlando Magic. That's a completely different idea than coming back to his former employer, a guy that he demanded the Brinks truck from and saying, yeah, give me the mid-level. I'll take the mid-level. Give me a chance to sort of resurrect my career here in Boston. I can't think of a lot of NBA players that have been able to be that humble, sort of show that sort of humility, and be able to put their ego to the side and do what's right for the team and do what's right ultimately for his career. But if somebody's chirping in IT's ear and giving him some good career advice here, I think the best career advice for him would be to find a way to come back and play for Brad Stevens, take a reduced role off the bench, and do it in a manner in which it costs the Celtics such little money where maybe they still have the flexibility to keep a guy like Marcus Smart. I want Isaiah Thomas back here in Boston. I do. I just think that he could provide the Celtics with some offense off the bench. If he came here and he returned to the guy that he was with the Kings, if he came here and he returned to the guy that he was with the Suns, and he was comfortable in that role, I think that he could excel here in Boston. However, the moment it cost the Celtics the financial flexibility to keep a Marcus Smart on this team, I say no. So that's ultimately up to IT. How little of a contract is it going to take to get Isaiah Thomas here? And is he comfortable coming off the bench? Those are questions only Isaiah Thomas can answer. The question you guys can answer as Celtics fans is, do you want him here? What are the circumstances in which you would welcome Isaiah Thomas back here to the city, back here to the Celtics? And could a marriage with the Celtics and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, and yes, Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart, could that work? Could that be successful? And could Isaiah Thomas be a key contributor on what we hope will be a team that's competing for an NBA championship? At 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Concord. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks again. Hey. No to Isaiah Thomas. Yes to Marcus Smart. And I want to talk about both players separately here.
Yeah.
The idea that Marcus Smart is this just not a good offensive player. It's almost making me livid because I've had to defend it for basically a year. He's the best passer on the team.
Well, okay. he's a very good passer, and he got much better last year.
Right, he's the best passer on the team. Period. I don't mean to shout that back at you.
Oh, it's okay,
but
Paul.
But that's offense. Okay, he was second on the team in assists per game, and he led the team in assists pretty much 60% of the games they played. A lot of people nationwide even said that he was a horrible foul shooter. And I just have a question for you. What do you think his foul shooting percentage was last year?
I'm going to say high 70s.
Yeah, it was high 70s, 80%.
Yeah, he's not a bad shooter from 15 feet in. The problem is, you know, people get stuck on the idea when they see him go, say, 3 for 10 from three-point land. They get stuck on that number.
Right, I understand that, but look at the foul shots, and also understand what a 2-for-1 is. You know what a 2-for-1 is, right?
Of course I do.
Yeah, I figured you. Marcus Smart shoots a lot of the front and back ends of 2-for-1s, which are hurried shots. Now, he's not a great shooter. He's probably at best an average shooter at the end of his career, but the percentages don't match up with his ability. He's my favorite player. I want him to stay on the Celtics. Now, Isaiah Thomas, it wouldn't make sense to me because I feel like we have the players with Horford and Irving coming back. It makes Tatum and Rozier and Morris, if he's still around, those guys that already are here to provide the offense. Isn't that true?
Yeah, so the guy that you just mentioned there is Marcus Morris, and I don't think he's going to be here. I was there when they did the exit interviews with these guys, and Marcus Morris was the first one to say, you know, he hopes that Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward come back healthy. He's excited for it. However, he's not looking forward to taking a reduced role because of those minutes being eaten up. He came right out and said that on the heels of the Celtics losing Game 7, like 24 hours later. So that's what was on his mind 24 hours later. I'm not sure that he's going to be comfortable taking that 7th to 9th man role in this team that ultimately he's going to be pushed down to because these guys are back and healthy and taking those shots, taking those minutes. The thing with IT is, if they could find a way to get him back here and he could produce at a level in which he did when he was the 6th, 7th man for the Kings, for the Suns, being that instant offense off the bench, that's almost taking that role from a Marcus Morris. And in that role, I think that he's an upgrade over Marcus Morris.
Offensively, possibly. But, I mean, I would think Rozier and Tatum, and I feel like I'm forgetting someone here.
What, off the bench?
Tice, if he gets healthy, yeah.
I mean, Tice, nobody talks about Tice, and I'm glad you brought him up, Paul. Yeah. I mean, his contract as of midnight, so an hour ago, is guaranteed for next year. He's on the roster next year, $1.4 million. He's here. He's healthy, and he's going to be here. And, you know, he's a guy nobody talks about, but when you look at his per 48 numbers, he was one of the Celtics' most productive guys last year.
Yeah, he would get, like, 9 rebounds in 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's a guy nobody talks about. Unless you're a green teamer and you watched every game, you have no idea who Daniel Tice is. But ultimately, he's going to be a guy. I promise you this, Paul. If they have an extended playoff run next year, he will have his P.J. Brown moment.
Oh, yeah. P.J. Brown hit the shot in Game 7, 2008. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. He'll have his P.J. Brown moment. he'll have his P.J. Brown moment. He'll have his Leon Poe game. He'll have an impact in an extended playoff run. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. He's a guy that's a very impactful player. He's a stretch 3, a stretch 4 that's tall enough to be a center but can stretch out to 3, and he's a guy that makes an impact. But, you know, again, nobody gets excited about talking about the 9th, 10th, 11th guy on the Celtics roster. It's just not who they are, which is why the morning show laughs at me for talking about Gershon Yabusele, Semi Ojeleye, and Jabari Bird. But ultimately, those guys have made a difference on this Celtics team last year. They have. And the Celtics utilize Summer League, I believe, better than most NBA teams do. Because when you look at their recent history, just go back the last 3, 4, 5 years, and you look at their Summer League roster, you see guys like Marcus Smart, you see guys like Jason Tatum, Semi Ojeleye, Jaylen Brown, Gershon Yabusele, these guys, Jabari Bird, all these guys have made contributions here with the big club, some more significant contributions than others, but the Celtics use their Summer League as a development part of the process here. They use it as a way to develop their young players, see what you got here. And because they've got their primary assistant in Jay Larinaga, they're running the show, he's running the Brad Stevens offense to a T with these Summer League guys. So Summer League comes to an end at the end of next week, and then you're still about 2, 2.5 months away from training camp, but these guys that are going to be the 12th to 15th men on this Celtics team then have that much of a head start when they come into Boston to start working out in early September in preparation for training camp at the end of the month. So it does make a difference, and it does help these veteran teams. It does help these teams that I think are on the precipice of competing for an NBA championship. So Summer League, laugh at it all you want, but it's become mainstream. Summer League has become something that is worthy of being on ESPN and NBC Sports Boston, and I think is at least worthy of some discussion here on the late night program. Might not be worthy of discussion on the number one rated morning show in the country, and that's fine. Like, I get that. It is fine. But for anybody to suggest that the programming should be identical at 1 a.m. to what it is at 7 a.m., it is crazy. They just aren't paying attention to what I think you guys want to hear. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. I am Patrick Gilroy. As always, There is plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Really done a lot on this whole Isaiah Thomas thing. It's a topic I never thought I would have the opportunity to really talk about again. I was a huge Isaiah Thomas fan. I rooted for this guy both on and off the court. There was something about his personality, something about the way that he fell in love with the city of Boston, and he is in direct comparison to the way that he talked about this city last year. And we'll play some of the cuts coming up in the second hour of the program. But you compare the way that he talked about his future here with the Celtics to the way that Kyrie Irving talks about his future here with the Celtics. And now you understand, I think, why Celtics fans are turned off by the way that Kyrie talks about his future here or lack of a future here. You'll understand better why I get upset with these rumors that Kyrie Irving's potentially attached to a Jimmy Butler and the New York Knicks, because you never heard that crap from an Isaiah Thomas. All you heard from IT was he loves it here, wants to be here, and considers himself lucky to be a Celtic, right? You don't get that from your current all-star point guard. You got that from your former all-star point guard. He'll never return to that form again on the floor. But I still think that there's enough basketball left in his 5'8" body where he could be a contributor here to a team that wants to compete for a championship. Can his ego take the hit? Can his ego allow him to thrive as a 6th, 7th, 8th man on this team? And can his wallet take the hit? Can his ego and wallet accept the fact that he's going to be a guy that makes $5 million bucks here next year? Going from a $100 million deal to a $5 million deal, going from a 5-year max deal to a 1-year prove-it-to-me deal. A lot of times those situations don't work out well in the NBA. A lot of times these egos are just too big to accept that sort of demotion. Is Isaiah Thomas the exception to the rule? We'll continue that conversation. And Kyle Korver to the Celtics, it's interesting, it's rumored, and the Celtics are in the mix. They're looking to potentially acquire Kyle Korver from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Is he somebody that you guys want to see here in Boston next year? We'll talk about that in hour number two when we come back right here, Sports Radio WEI.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.